Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. For our announcements today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to be having a wonderful concert here, Colin and Friends. And I've heard the rehearsals. They are just marvelous. The ticket price is $22 at the door. We hope to see you back at 2 p.m. There's fellowship on the lawn today. That's in back of me on under the maple tree, so that we hope that you come and get to know each other better on the lawn after church. And my sabbatical begins this week. So next week we start to hear other speakers, and we've lined up a very ecumenical group because Moravians love all denominations, and we think we're in this together. So the first Sunday, next Sunday, we will hear a Baptist. His name is Warren Fole, and he is the director of the Bridges of Friendship Ministry that's here in Door County. He will be speaking. The next week will be our resident Lutheran, Ken Carlson, and so we're delighted that he'll be here. And then the third week is a deacon of the Catholic Church, Tony Apps from the Stella Maris Parish, will be here speaking. And we'll round it up with a Moravian, a retired pastor, Reverend Mary Lou Plummer. So we hope to see you. I won't see you in person, but we hope that you will be here each week during the sabbatical. I will be back in the pulpit October 2nd for World Communion and to tell you all about the trip. I'm delighted that I have this opportunity to go away. I will be in Oberammergau for the Passion Play. That happens every 10 years. It was supposed to happen in 2020, but it was delayed a couple of years. So my sister and I will be going. Bob will stay here with the dog. So you will see Bob. You can comfort my husband while I'm away. Would you stand with me as we begin our worship and sing hymn number 555, Come Now, Almighty King.
Oh,
Our New Testament scripture lesson is taken from the book of Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, darkness, gloom, a tempest, the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made their hearers beg for not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns them from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us remain seated as we sing hymn number 646, "Lord, Speak to Me That I May Speak."
Thank you.
Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I know you have heard from this pulpit and probably many others that when we're in trouble, when we're in need, we should look up. We should look up in hope. We should look to Jesus. We sing that familiar hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." But what happens when you can't? When life has crushed you, when hope is gone, and it's rather impossible to look up. This is what happened to the woman in the story today. It was literally impossible for her to look up. You know the story. 18 years prior to the encounter with Jesus, something terrible happened to this woman. Some sort of curvature of the spine, something that today would most likely be corrected through surgery. But here she was year after year, and she became more and more stooped over, to the point where the only thing she could see were the few steps in front of her. Could you imagine living like that for 18 long years? Now, I'm sure the community at first must have been quite helpful for her and were sympathetic, but you know what happens with chronic illness. You know what happens when somebody's in trouble and it keeps going year after year. After a while, people have their own lives and they forget the person in trouble. And so I imagine that week after week, as she went to that synagogue, that very few people really saw her. Or if they did, it's the old cripple lady. And so she came that day, and you'll notice she came late. She was probably late to a lot of things, because after all, how do you get ready when you're bent over all the time? So it was a struggle to get dressed. It was a struggle to go any place. There was no help. There were no walkers in those days. Maybe she had a stick that she used to help her. But she came in late, and she could not see Jesus. She literally could not pick her head up to look at that man who was teaching. And as she shuffled into the back of that synagogue, one of the most wondrous things was she couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw her. And he called out to her. And as she shuffled her way up, he said, "Woman, you're free." And he touched her, and immediately she straightened up and began to shout. And there must have been quite a commotion that day. Because I know this because there's a little line that says, the synagogue leader kept saying to the people, because they were gone crazy. I'm sure one half of the synagogue formed a conga line and started to dance. And the other half of the synagogue formed a line to say, if he could do that for her, I've got some issues too. Let me get healed as well. And that's why the synagogue leader, trying to impose order, said, come back another day. Not on the Sabbath. Said he was indignant that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. I'm not sure it was so much that he healed that everything went crazy and he could not impose order. And after all, isn't worship of God supposed to be very orderly and very calm? And there's a process, and Jesus had disrupted the process. And so he could not see that the joy of this woman and the joy of the crowd, that was not on his agenda. So he said, come back another day, as if healing happened on other days. I'm sure they had never seen anything like it. And so Jesus said, you hypocrites. Now it sounds like there was more than one frowned face in the synagogue that day. And he reminded them of what they did for an animal on the Sabbath. Should not this woman be freed and be healed on the Sabbath day? tells me two things, two great lessons. The first is this, that there are times in our lives that, try as we might, we simply cannot see. There are times in our lives that, try as we might, we cannot pull ourselves up, and we cannot implant hope, and we seem to be simply hopeless. And at that time, I want to tell you something that's very important to hear. God sees you. Jesus sees you. God doesn't hold it against us when we're in despair, and Jesus is here to lift us up, to give us grace, to give us mercy, to give us all that we need to bring that kind of healing touch to us. So even when we can't turn our eyes on Jesus, Jesus turns his eyes on us. And the second thing that I've learned is that we who have hope, we who are not in despair, need to ask the Lord to give us eyes of compassion, eyes that see like Jesus sees. It seems that he was the only one who noticed that woman walking in that day. And so we need those type of eyes to see those in our midst who are in despair, who have no hope, so that we can confer healing. I hope that we are more like the shouting people than the frowning synagogue leader. And you know, sometimes when people are in need, sometimes when people need healing, it's disruptive to our routine. Let our routines be disrupted. Because the Lord does not care about the order, he cares more about the individual who's in need. What a wonderful lesson for us. When we cannot turn our eyes on Jesus, Jesus turns his eyes on us. And let us pray for those eyes so that we can see the people who are hurting around us. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you turned your eyes on this woman. And that in that healing moment, she was granted all your grace and all your peace and all your mercy. And we pray that that healing moment would be upon us today, on all those who have lost hope. May they see you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we pray together the Liturgy for Peace and Justice found on page 148 in your hymnal?
How should we come before the Holy One and bow before God on high?
God has shown what is good and what is required to do justice, to show constant love, and to walk humbly with our God.
Give thanks to you, O God, for you are good.
For your steadfast love endures forever.
Who can utter your mighty words or show forth all your praise?
Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times.
Is not this the kind of worship that pleases me, says our God, to undo the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke, to share bread with the hungry and shelter the homeless poor, to clothe the naked and not turn from your own people. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, sick or in prison and you visited me.
When did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you, sick or in prison and visit you?
Truly, I say to you, when you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Please be seated.
To that time of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We're so grateful for the music ministry today of Beth Coleman. It's a delight to see you back. We want to remember in our prayers Barbara and Kevin, Lucille, Eric, Karen, who's recovering from hand surgery, Craig, that's Rob and Sherry's brother, who's recovering from heart surgery, and Carrie, Linda's sister. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for the gifts that you bring to us, for the gifts of music, for the gifts of kindred souls, for the gifts of joy. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to revel in those gifts today. We bring before you those who are in need of your healing touch, those who are in need of comfort. We ask that you would undertake with Barbara and Kevin, Lucille, Eric, Karen, Craig, and Carrie. May each of them know your healing mercy. May each of them know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. May each of them be restored. For we ask it all in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, Lord, hear my prayer.
brothers and sisters, this service has come to an end. Go into your week serving your Savior with love, delighting in the life God has given you. God be with you until we meet again. Amen.